What up, what up, what up? Ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's Golden Boy, Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 314, episode 314 of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. This episode here, diving into a lot. We got some NBA talk for you. Coach Prime, his first year as Colorado football head coach is over with. Unfortunately, it didn't go the way we would have hoped. But being that the season is over, I'm going to put a grade on Coach Prime's season this year in his first campaign. Listen, I barely do wrestling talk. But there was a iconic return that took place last weekend that I definitely want to speak on. He's definitely one of the best in the world, so I'm definitely going to speak on that as well. And of course, my NFL weekly awards and my picks for this upcoming week, which is week 13. Now, I think I didn't do week 11 and week 12. I think the last 2 weeks I did was 9 and 10. So I'm going to give my offensive and defensive players for week 11 and 12, tell y'all what my record was for those weeks, and then we're going to go into, you know, the picks for week 13. But first, let's get into NBA talk. I so wanted to start this episode with the NBA, at least with the in-season tournament. There's some things I like about it. There's some things I don't like about it. I'm going to get to that soon. But this matter here, I definitely need to speak on quick, fast, in a hurry. And that would be Oklahoma City Thunder player Josh Giddey allegedly having relations. Well, let me say having improper relation. With an underage girl. Police in Newport, California are currently conducting an active investigation involving allegations that Josh Giddey has been doing this. Now, the allegations, the rumors started circulating last week. It started last week. And what I found so baffling was nobody was speaking about it. Nobody. Not a soul. It wasn't on Fox Sports. It wasn't on ESPN. No sport platform that you thought of. At least any of the big ones. Nobody was speaking on it. But what I found so crazy about it was I remember when Udoka, the Houston coach, Udoka, his scandal was all over the place for the world to see, to the point where not only was it on ESPN and sport platforms, I think that shit even made CNN, if I'm not mistaken. Ja Morant, you know, with all the stuff that he's been dealing with, all the stuff he's been going through, all that shit made front page on sport platforms. That was the first thing that they talked about when these shows came on. Whether it was Undisputed, whether it was First Take, whether it was Get Up, whether it was First Things First, whether it was Speak, all these platforms. That was the first thing that they spoke about. But for some reason, this shit with Josh Giddey, ain't nobody talking about it. Today is Thursday, November 30th. Yesterday was the first day that motherfuckers started speaking about it. Now, mind you, I just said that this stuff has been circulating on social media since last week. Nobody spoke about it. A week later, and now everybody want to jump on board. And what I found so crazy, Malika Andrews. Yes, I'm calling her out. This is somebody who is famous for bringing up young black players' past when she's, you know, doing her reporting on NBA Today on ESPN. She'll find something from their past and bring it to everybody's attention. When it came to this, she didn't speak about it. Now, it was brought to my attention that yesterday she finally said something. But again, this shit is a week old. And now you starting to say something? Now, it's no secret onto why that's the case, because it's a white boy. Because when it came down to the brothers, when something went wrong with the brothers, she was the first to report it. But now when it comes to, you know, the more privileged, she don't want to say nothing. Now, Josh Giddey has declined to comment about the whole situation. The Thunder coach has referred to this as a personal matter. But see, what I found so crazy is, even with all of these allegations going on, he's still being able to play. That's the part that's baffling to me. With an allegation like this, and this is serious. This is something very, very serious. First of all, you're 21 years old. 21. And you are allegedly having an improper relationship with a minor. With a minor, someone of a lesser age. That's what you're doing. And the Thunder have took it upon themselves to still allow this young man to play basketball. Once these allegations came out, you were supposed to sit him down. Okay, they're just allegations. But at the end of the day, he's not supposed to be on that basketball court. He's not supposed to be on that basketball court. He is supposed to be not playing. Every game is supposed to be a DNP. Did not play. That's what it's supposed to be for him. This is a serious matter, and it seems like the NBA and the OKC Thunder are not taking it very seriously. Because if they was taking it serious, he would not be playing in these games. He should not be playing in these games at all. At all. Because I can guarantee you this. Had this been Ja Morant, I'm just trying to throw names out there. Had it been Ja Morant, had it been Marcus Smart, had it been Draymond Green, I'm just mentioning names here. Had it been one of those guys that did this shit, oh, they wouldn't be playing. They wouldn't be playing at all. So I don't understand how he's able to play. The Thunder have played 17 games this season. And he has played in all 17 games. He has started in all 17 games. I don't understand that. Once this story came out, he should have been sat down. I get it's just like allegations. I get it. But it puts a stain on the NBA. This is why people say they don't take matters very seriously. And this is a reason right here. Because with this allegation right here, even though we don't know the full story, we don't know all the facts, he is not supposed to be on that basketball court. He's not. He's not supposed to be playing. But see, here's the thing. And the late, great Paul Mooney said this plenty of times. Complexion for the protection for the collection. Josh Giddey has the complexion for the protection for the collection. His skin protects him. So that's the reason why he is still being able to play. Because had this been a brother of my complexion, oh no, best believe they wouldn't be able to play. They wouldn't be able to play. That person might have been suspended without even knowing all the facts. He is supposed to be taking a leave of absence from the OKC Thunder until a thorough investigation is going on. This is how they should be handling this. And clearly they're not. That shit is wicked. That shit is crazy to me. Just a shame. Just a shame. But listen, you definitely don't want to hear shit like this. You definitely don't. You definitely do not want to hear about a player having improper relationships with a girl of a younger age. Because I'm not going to say woman because she's not a woman. From the pictures that I saw before they deactivated their accounts, that girl looks very young. Very young. It's being reported that she's a high school junior. That's the rumor, that she's a high school junior. So if she's a high school junior, that means that she can't be no more than 16 years old. I mean, hey, like, come on. But again, we don't know all the facts. But it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for him. And it definitely doesn't look good for the NBA still allowing him to play. They have a game tonight against the Lakers. I'm quite sure he'll be suited up playing. He should not be playing. He should not be playing at all. At all. He should not be playing. That's my honest opinion. Now let's get to this in-season tournament. Now, when this in-season tournament was first announced, I'm not going to lie, wasn't a fan of it. I wasn't too thrilled about it at all. Me, personally, I thought they was trying to piggyback off what the WNBA was doing when it pertains to the Commissioner Cup. But then I thought about it. The Commissioner Cup only consisted of two teams. You had the best team in the East, the best team in the West. And they would compete one game for the Commissioner Cup. Now this in-season tournament for the NBA is different. All 30 teams participate. And the top eight teams, the four teams in the East, the four teams in the West, they compete in, you know, the quarterfinals and semifinals and then the finals. I believe the semifinals and the finals is in Vegas. So right now, the quarterfinals is going to take place December 4th, which is Jay-Z's birthday, and December 5th. The four teams are the Milwaukee Bucks, who will be the number one seed in the in-season tournament. The Indiana Pacers, who's the number two seed. The Boston Celtics is the number three seed. And the New York Knicks is the number fourth seed in the East. In the West, number one seed is the Lakers. Number two is the Sacramento Kings. Number three is the New Orleans Pelicans. And then number four is the Phoenix Suns. Those are the eight teams that are in the quarterfinals for this in-season tournament. I have a lot of, how can I say it? There's a couple of things with the in-season tournament that I don't jack, that I'm not fans of. The one thing I'm not a fan of is the point differential. That's the one thing I'm not a fan of. Now, I get it. you can have probably two teams have the same record, and if they have the same record within their group, how do you be able to decipher which team deserves to move on to the quarterfinals? I get that. I just don't think the whole point differential thing, from what I saw, especially this week, watching these games, for me, I feel like it's like, yo, you're adding on points. You're sticking it to your opponent. Like, who was it? I think it was Boston and Chicago, right? It was a blowout. Like, the Celtics was dog walking the Bulls. Now, usually, if it's a blowout, the starters come out the game. Now this gives the bench warmers an opportunity to go out there and display their talent. Not in this in-season tournament. Even with a blowout, they still keep their starters out there. So now it's like you're taking the integrity away from the game. Because if you listen to some of the players' interviews, they're not too thrilled with that being the way to handle the in-season tournament. With the whole point differential and shit like that. Like, a lot of people had an issue with it. Jrue Holiday, he had a big issue with it. I think his comments is the one that resonate with me the most, because it's my settlements exactly. It's like you're disrespecting the game of basketball by doing this. So me personally, that aspect of the in-season tournament with the whole point differential shit, I honestly think, like, again, it's only the first year. Who knows if people like it? Who knows? Maybe next year they'll go back to it. So let's do the hypothetical. Let's say they do it again next year. Hopefully by then, they'll come up with a better system so they can get rid of that whole point differential thing. Because, look, the Warriors and the Kings played, right? The Warriors, in order for the Warriors to have advanced, they would have had to win by 12 or plus points. They would have had to been able to win by 12 points or more. And then in Sacramento, all they had to do was keep the score below 12 points. And they would have been able to advance. Whether they won or lost, as long as the deficit was below 12, they would have been able to advance. Like, it's too much complications for me, in my honest opinion, with the whole point differential thing. Now, what it's done is given other teams that we didn't expect to flourish, to shine so far this season. The Knicks are in the quarterfinals of this in-season tournament. Do I believe they'll make the playoffs? Yeah, I do. The Pelicans, if they can stay healthy, I believe they can make the playoffs. If healthy. Now, granted, CJ McCollum, you know, is out for a while with a collapsed lung. And, you know, hopefully all goes well with him. But it's good to see them in the in-season tournament. It's good to see the Pacers in the in-season tournament. But if I want to give my prediction right now for who I think is going to make, you know, who's going to advance, I think the Celtics and the Bucks will advance to the semifinals in Vegas. Just like I think that's going to be my conference final matchup. I truly believe that's going to be the Eastern Conference Finals matchup at the end of the season. I think it's going to be Boston and Milwaukee. Just like I believe it's going to be Boston and Milwaukee in the end season tournament semifinals in the East. The Lakers, maybe they need to have it.
Pardon self.
Woo, man. I honestly think that the Lakers need to have an in-season tournament all year. Because they are playing their best when they're in the in-season tournament. That's the only time when Anthony Davis is consistent. When it's an in-season tournament game, AD is in his bag. But unfortunately, whatever the reason may be, when it's not an in-season tournament game, when it's just a regular game, he's on some bullshit. The Lakers just got blown out by 40-something points. I believe it was 44 points a few nights ago against the Sixers. And Anthony Davis was nowhere to be found. You're going up against Joel Embiid, one of the best big men in the league, and you stanked up the joint against him. I honestly think that it's a crime that the best player on the Lakers is LeBron James. Now, yes, we know how great he is. Top five greatest player of all time, depending on who you ask. You have some that say he's number one. You have some who say who's number two. Me personally, he's in my top five. Y'all know who my GOAT is. I think it's a travesty that LeBron James has to be the best player on this team. Because I honestly think it should be Anthony Davis. I think he should be the best player on the team. But for whatever the reason may be, it has to be LeBron James. He's going on his 39th birthday at the end of December. He's in his 21st season. He got the game still. He still got the game to produce. That's not the issue. The issue is that you would think at this time frame in his career, you would think that Anthony Davis would be on some, yo, I'll take the realms from here. I'll be Batman. You could be Batman 1A or 1B or some shit. And it's unfortunate. And this is why I think it's a crime when you have people out there saying that Anthony Davis is better than Tim Duncan. No, the fuck he's not. No, the fuck he's not. Now, if you want to say he's more skillful than Tim Duncan, okay, you could say that. But if we just talking overall, and you factor everything in, there's no way in the world he's better than Tim Duncan. No way in the world. Okay? But do I think the Lakers will win this in-season tournament? They got a good shot. They got a good shot. I believe they gave the Suns their only loss in this in-season tournament. So the Lakers are number one. The Suns are number four. I think the Lakers could beat the Suns. I think the Lakers will advance. And then with the Kings and the Pelicans, I like this Kings team, man. I really do. Like, they showed me something Tuesday night when they played Golden State. Because I don't even know how many games it's been. If we're counting regular season and playoffs. Now, I know last year, you know, they met the Warriors in the playoffs, and it took the Warriors 7 games to beat them. But if we just talking regular season, you can't even consider this a rivalry because it's been lopsided. The Warriors have won consecutive games against the Kings. The Kings was getting dog walked in this game. They could have easily said, you know what? It's just the end season tournament. We're thinking bigger than this. We'll meet them down the road in the playoffs. They didn't do nothing. They said, you know what? We still going to go out there and fight. We still going to come back and play this game. And what did they do? They came back and they won. I like that momentum going into this quarterfinals. So I think it's going to be the Lakers and the Kings in the semifinals for the end season tournament. And then I think it's going to be Boston. I think it's going to be Boston and the Kings in the finals, in the in-season tournament. Now, I know y'all all thought I was going to say the Lakers, but no, I think it's going to be the Kings. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of this Kings team. And not for nothing, I mean, I wouldn't knock the Lakers for winning the in-season tournament, but what I would challenge LeBron fans from doing is this. if the Lakers was to win this in-season tournament, don't y'all dare try to throw this in a, oh, that's his fifth championship. Oh, no, 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 no. No, it's not. This is just the in-season tournament. That's all it is. It is not a Larry O'Brien trophy. It is not an NBA championship trophy. We are not in the month of June, so don't you dare try to throw that in-season tournament championship in there and make it seem like that's the fifth championship, because no, we're not doing that. Nice try, fans, because, you know, you LeBron fans, y'all will try to do any and everything to try to make a case that he's the GOAT. He is not the GOAT, and y'all need to stop, and y'all need to stop thinking that. Y'all need to stop thinking that. So, yes, I think it's going to be the Kings and the Celtics in the in-season tournament final, in my opinion. So there you have it. Now let's get to Coach Prime. The Colorado Buffaloes, their season is over. And now that the season is over, I have to sit here as a fan of Deion. One of my favorite athletes of all time. One of my favorite football players of all time. The greatest cornerback that the game has ever seen. But that is thrown out the window. That's not what this is about. This is about his coaching in his first year as head football coach for the Colorado Buffaloes. They ended their season 4-8. Their conference record was 1-8. Now, us as fans of Deion, we knew that this season was going to be a struggle. We knew that already. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Now, I will be honest. When he did win those first three games of the season, which I predicted, by the way, I felt that, okay, maybe they could really do some damage here. Now, unfortunately, their record was 4-8. 12 regular season games. They're not going to be bowl eligible. So their season is basically over. Their record is 4-8. Me, personally, I thought it would be in reverse. I thought it would be 8-4, and I thought it would be eligible for a bowl. Because if you look at some of these games they should have won. Some of these games they should have won. Like if you go back and just assess these games, because the games that they showed on TV, oh no, I watched them in this entirety. You better believe I did. Now, the only two losses that you could honestly say there was no coming back from was Washington State and Oregon. They got dog walked in those games. So those two losses was for certain. They had a nail biter with USC, even though they was getting killed at first, but they came back. And you can make a case that if the offensive coordinator was doing some better plays, they might have won that game. They might have won that game. Then you throw in that debacle against Stanford. When they was up, I think, 29-0 at halftime. It was either 29-0 at halftime or 26-0. And then Colorado just stinked up the joint. To the point where it took two overtimes for Stanford to win. Not only did you give up the lead, but the game went into overtime and you lose. Now, some of these other games that they lost, they had a great shot to win. But, listen, when you have a team where the offensive line is suspect, where Shador is basically running for his life in every single game, it's easy to get to the quarterback. That O-line is suspect, and we knew that coming into this season. The defense was suspect.
We knew that coming into this season. I will say this, though. As much as Shador gets all the love and praise on offense, Deion's, Coach Prime's other son, Shallow, he's been doing his thing on defense. You don't want to be going up against him on defense, because he trying to take that ball from you. He ain't just trying to tackle you. He trying to strip that ball from you. And there have been some instances where he was successful. So, from a fan's perspective, I can't say from a fan's perspective. From a podcaster standpoint, I have to put my podcaster hat on. And I just have to assess this in a vacuum. If I had to put a grade on Coach Prime's first year, I give him a B-. I give him a B-. Now, I know some of y'all saying, wait, they was 4-8. I just gave y'all the reasons on why this season was a success. Don't let the record fuck with you. We knew that it was going to be a struggle for them this season. But again, some of those games that they lost, they could have easily won. They could have easily won. Bad penalties. Penalties at the wrong time. The O-line being horrible. The defense being horrible. Those two things we already knew going into the season. There's no need to cry over spilled milk. Even with a 4-8 record, I would still give Coach Prime a B- for his first year. Because guess what? 4-8 is a whole lot better than 1-11. And that's what that team was last year. They were 1-11 before Coach Prime came. And he gave them 3 extra wins more than last season. So I'm going to give him a B-. B-C. Yeah, around that round. But I tell you what, next year, it's going to be even more interesting. Because they're not going to be in the Pac-12 next year. They're going to be in the Big 12. So a lot of those teams in the Big 12, they're going to be playing next year. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out next year. But for this year, his first year, my grade for Coach Prime is a B-. This is not me being a homer. This is not me being biased because I love Coach Prime as a football player. I'm just talking about as a coach, his coaching ability, how he galvanizes that team. I'm going to give him an assessment, and I gave him a B. I gave him a B-. B-, borderline C. There you have it. Now let's get into some wrestling. Like I said earlier in the pod, I barely speak about wrestling. But it was a return that happened that I felt needed to be spoken about. Now, I watched Survivor Series last weekend. I didn't watch it in its entirety. I caught what I needed to catch. What I was really looking forward to was the end of Survivor Series. Because something in my mind told me that CM Punk was coming back. I just knew it. I just didn't know how they was going to present it. Because, again, for those of y'all that's been living under a rock, CM Punk, a.k.a. Phil Brooks, former WWE superstar from back in the day. He leaves WWE in 2014 after issues with his booking and issues backstage, so he just picks up his boy, he leaves. Fast forward a few years, he tries out UFC. I believe he has 2 fights, gets his ass beat in both fights, takes some time off. He wants to get back into wrestling, but he goes to AEW, which is All Elite Wrestling. He had a good stint there from what I saw. I forgot what the event was, pardon self for not remembering. There was rumors that he had an issue backstage, had a fight, an altercation backstage with the Young Bucks. Very, very popular tag team. A whole bunch of rumblings and, oh, he's a cancer in the locker room. He's doing it again, yada, yada, yada. Long story short, he gets fired. We then fast forward to Survivor Series. But not only that, we also figure out that there were rumblings that CM Punk might have had contact with WWE on a possible return. Now, us as fans, you have those that were in support of it. You had those who weren't in support of it. Me, personally, I know this is a cliche, but for me, whatever is best for business, I'm all for it. And on top of that, I love CM Punk. I'm not going to say and say I'm a huge CM Punk fan, but I do love CM Punk. I love his performance in the ring. I love his promos, you know, pipe bombs, all that shit. Like, he is amazing. Like, when he says best in the world, he's definitely the best in the world, one of the best in the world. Because saying best in the world means you're number one. I can't say you're number one, but I will say you're one of the best in the world. Whether it's in the ring, on the mic, even in commentary. Yeah, for the fans that understand, you'll catch on to why I said it like that. But the point is this. You had those that were approving it. You had those that weren't supporting it. Then we find out that Survivor Series is in Chicago. Now, if you've been following CM Punk for most of his career, it's no secret that he's from Chicago. When he made his debut in AEW, where was the venue at? United Center in Chicago. You know, the building that Michael Jordan built, the United Center? Yeah, that building. That's in Chicago. So CM Punk made his debut in that building. Where was Survivor Series this year? In Chicago. I truly believe it was in that building. I don't think it was in the Wintrust Arena with the Chicago Sky play. I truly believe it was the United Center. So now the rumbling started to pour on even more. Like, whoa, is CM Punk going to be there? Is CM Punk going to be there? Then we get to the War Games. Was he going to be a part of Team Cody Rhodes? Because he needed a fifth partner. Now, from what I was reading, they wanted to make it a surprise that Randy Orton was going to be the fifth partner. I think they wanted to wait until the night of Survivor Series. But being that it was in Chicago, and being that it was in Chi-Town, it would have been so many chants for CM Punk, it would have took attention off the match. So they waited a week before Survivor Series on Monday Night Raw to announce that Randy Orton was going to be the fifth partner for War Games. Because again, you have a superstar who's been gone for almost 2 years. We didn't even know if Randy Orton was going to come back. Okay, let's say that Randy Orton is going to be the fifth partner. Because now what that does is that takes away from all the attention and all the fans chanting CM Punk's name. Because now you bring Randy Orton back, that's what everybody's going to be talking about. And then we get to Survivor Series. The match ends, and I'm sitting in my room. I'm watching, you know, I'm watching Survivor Series. I'm watching how it ends. And you know how when the pay-per-view is almost over, it shows its credits on the bottom of the screen. So when it shows that, you thinking it's getting ready to go off. And then all you hear is, and I just started yelling. I lost my mind. I have been watching videos of fans recording their interaction when CM Punk's music came on. When I tell you that so many people geeked out when that man's music came on, is an understatement. When Cult the Personality came on, everybody lost their motherfucking mind. And then when you see him come out with the white t-shirt, and I believe he had on white blue jeans, light blue jeans, and he does the "It's Clobbering Time." We all on cloud nine. But then you start to read reports where there were some superstars that weren't too thrilled about CM Punk being back, a la Seth Rollins. Now, there's a video circulating where he's basically charging after CM Punk. It took a couple of superstars. It took Michael Cole. It even took Corey Graves to try to restrain Seth Rollins, because it's no secret that these two don't like each other. But see, for me, I just think this is going to be this is going to be great for business. Because now that CM Punk has returned to WWE, and I heard his promo on Monday Night Raw, I made it my business to go on YouTube, because I couldn't watch it live because I was at work. But I damn sure made it my business to watch it when I came home. Everything he said, I loved. Everything he said. I love the fact how he said a wise man told him that, I'm basically paraphrasing, you're going to have to leave WWE and miss it for you to come back. The wise man he was talking about was Paul Heyman, because Paul Heyman was a CM Punk guy. Before CM Punk left WWE, before, who was his manager? Who was in his corner? Paul Heyman. So I like how the word play that he used in that promo was top notch, which is expected from a CM Punk promo. Now, we all know where this is going to lead to. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. Stevie Wonder can see how this is going to play out. Ray Charles can see how this is going to play out. I can see one or two scenarios. I can see a scenario where CM Punk declares himself for the Royal Rumble. Cody Rhodes has already declared himself for the Royal Rumble. So that's one person already. Depending on how many weeks CM Punk shows up to Raw before the Royal Rumble, I can see him saying himself, he is declaring himself to be in the Royal Rumble. Right? So those two guys right there is going to be the clear favorites to win the Royal Rumble. It's nobody else. It's going to be those two. Because with Cody Rhodes, we got to play along with the whole story with him and Roman Reigns from last year's WrestleMania. You know, will he be able to redeem himself from that WrestleMania? Then with CM Punk, if he wins the Royal Rumble, which champ would he go after? Would he go after Roman Reigns, or would he go after Seth Rollins? We all know how this is going to play out. And me personally, this is how I would hope that it plays out. Me personally, I want CM Punk to win the Royal Rumble. Cody Rhodes already won one, right? Now, there have been superstars that have won multiple Royal Rumbles. My man Austin is the only superstar to win three of them. You understand what I'm saying? But I just think with CM Punk returning, I would love to see him win the Royal Rumble and announce that it's Seth that he's going after. So then that way it could piggyback off of the whole personal angle with them. Because I do think cooler heads can prevail and they can, you know, patch shit up. I definitely don't want to see a whole Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels type shit from back in the day when it was personal. You know what I'm saying? I would hope that that's not the case. But again, as a WWE fan, I am very much happy that CM Punk is back home. Like he said he's home. So I'm glad to see that he's back in the WWE. Let's see what happens. But at the end of the day, you're not just bringing him back just to bring him back. Like, he's already
Right now, currently, he has his merchandise is one of the top selling merchandises, and the man ain't been back a full week yet. He has the top selling merchandise for WWE, and he still has the top merchandise at AEW, and the man don't even work there no more. That's crazy to me. When you got that much pull, when you got that much popularity, come on, man. He got to be in the title picture. He got to be. Now, I know that's going to ruffle some feathers, but they do what's best for business. That's the one thing that they do in WWE. They do what's best for business. It is what it is. But I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's back. So let's see what happens with that. Let's see what happens with that. Okay, now let's get into NFL. Let's get into NFL. Now, I didn't do an episode last week. In fact, I think my last episode was the 17th of November, if I'm not mistaken. So I didn't do my offensive and defensive player of the weeks for week 11 and week 12. So we're going to get to that right now. For week 11, my offensive player of the year was Brandon Ayuk of the San Francisco 49ers. I so wanted to give it to Brock Purdy. But see, that's too easy. Because, you know, it's a quarterback-driven league. And, you know, with the MVP conversation and shit like that, it's easy to just say, you know what? Let's give it to a quarterback. Nah, fuck that. I want to switch up. So I gave it to Brandon Ayuk. I gave it to him. Deservingly so, for the matter. I mean, he had 5 catches for 156 yards, and he had a touchdown. So it's not like I just picked him out of nowhere. No, he was deserving of it. My defensive player of the year, Jalen Ramsey was my defensive player of the year for week 11. Reason being is because he just came back off of an injury, and he had 2 picks. You get 2 interceptions in the game? Oh, yeah, I'm going to give you that award. It don't need to be a pick 6. It just shows me that you're effective on the field. If you can get 2 picks, chances are I'm going to give you defensive player of the week. And for week 11, that's what I did. Now let's go to week 12. Week 12. I hate to say it, but my weekly awards, it was a cowboy affair. On offense, I gave it to Dak Prescott for putting on a clinic against the Washington Commanders. And then on defense, I gave it to Deron Bland. Now, the reason why I gave it to him is because this season, he's tied an NFL record. He has 4 pick sixes in a season. 4. That means when he gets an interception, chances are he's taking that bad boy to the house. So if you throw it in his direction and he catches it, chances are he's taking that bitch to the house. He's definitely hitting the goalpost. So I felt that I felt I had to give it to him. I had to. Now, mind you, week 11, I thought about giving it to him because he had a pick 6 against the Panthers. But Jalen Ramsey, I gave it to him because he had 2 interceptions. If he would have just had 1, I would have gave it to Bland. Because, again, it was a pick six. But being that Ramsey had two of them, just two interceptions, I gave it to him. But for week 12, I gave it to Deron Bland. And listen, I think the Defensive Player of the Year award this year is going to be very interesting. I truly do. Because you got J.J. Watt. You got Myles Garrett. You got Deron Bland. I think that's the three-headed monster right now for Defensive Player of the Year. Now, before the season started, I said Michael Parsons was going to be my Defensive Player of the Year. But I honestly don't think that's going to be the case this year, because there have been some games where I had to ask myself, was the brother even playing? Because he wasn't doing nothing. But I think if he keeps this going, I think he could win Defensive Player of the Year. If it was up to me, I'd give it to him now. But, you know, it ain't up to me. But with that being said, let's get into my picks for week 13. Now, before I do that, of course, I got to give y'all my records for the other weeks. I was 9-5 for week 11. And then I was 11-5 for week 12. The Texans had a nail biter against the Jags. Literally. The kicker missed the field goal. Now, mind you, it hit the goalpost, but it just didn't go in. It was too short. That was one of my losses. The Browns losing to, I forgot who the hell the Browns lost to. Who did the Browns lose to? The Browns lost to the Broncos. I picked the Browns. I don't know what made me do that. I picked the Vikings to beat the Bears. See, that one, again, division rivalry. That can go either way. The Lions losing to the Packers on Thanksgiving. With the season that the Lions is having this year, I'm not going to lie, I was riding the train. And I'm very happy on what the Lions is doing this season. But I picked them to win that game on Thanksgiving against the Packers, and the Packers won 29-22. So those were my five losses. Now let's get to week 13. And it starts with Thursday night football, which is tonight. We got the Seahawks and the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys have played 11 games this year. All eight of their wins have been against teams with below 500 records. Now, me personally, you only play what your schedule tells you. That's it. Now, am I going to ride this train with, oh, the Cowboys is going to the Super Bowl, this, that, and the third? Of course not. Absolutely not. I'm not doing that. I am impressed with them, though. But see, my whole thing is, can they keep it going? That's the only thing. Can they keep it going? And now we're going to get a test of what the Cowboys are really made of these next five games. Because they got the Seahawks, who is 6-5, who's definitely going to try to right that wrong for losing on Thanksgiving to the Niners. Then next week, they got Philly. Then they got Buffalo. And then they got the Dolphins. So these next five games for the Cowboys, all those games is going to be against teams with over 500 record. So it's going to be interesting, man. But for this week, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's just stay the course. Thursday night football. I'm picking the Cowboys. This season, the Cowboys are just a different breed when they're in that building. When they are at home, they inflict pain on teams. They're winning by 20-plus points at home. It's not even a competition. Now, again, yes, it could be
the teams that they've played, one or two things can be true. But we can't discredit them. We just can't. Dak is having a great year. He's in the MVP conversation. So I'm going to say the Cowboys is going to win this game. I got the Cowboys winning. Okay, let's get into the Sunday games. December 3rd, we got Chargers and Patriots. Listen, I think it's safe to say that this Patriots season has been very much disappointing. There's a lot of rumors circulating that it could be Coach Belichick's last year. He might be out the door, yada, yada, yada. Mac Jones is not the quarterback that they thought he was. Well, it's crystal clear that he's not now. I wasn't really sold on him that much anyway. Now, I know he did his thing at Alabama, but that's college. This is the NFL. And it ain't looking too good for him right now. It really ain't looking too good for him right now. The Chargers have had some games this year where they've could have won. But unfortunately, they're 4-7. This is a game that they should win, and it's a game that I believe they will win. I believe that they go to Foxborough and they beat the New England Patriots. Unfortunately, the Patriots are 2-9. When can we ever... Listen, the Patriots had a... They had a 20-year dominance. A close to 20-year dominance. Dude's never had probably no more than 6 losses. Even the year that they didn't make the playoffs. I think they were, 11-5, and they didn't make the playoffs. Patriots are 2-9. That's crazy. Next, we got the Steelers and the Cardinals. I got the Steelers. Listen, man. Look no further, man. Pittsburgh might be creeping up. Pittsburgh just might be creeping up in the playoffs. Listen, when this season first started, the two teams that everybody was talking about coming out of that AFC North was the Bengals and the Ravens. Those were the two teams that everybody was talking about. Nobody was talking about Pittsburgh, but look no further, man. Pittsburgh is in that conversation. They're in that conversation. Next, we got the Colts and we got the Titans. Division rivals. Listen, there have been weeks that I've picked against the Colts, and they've proved me wrong. This week, I'm gonna pick them. I'm gonna pick them to beat the Titans. Now, see that I picked them. Now let's see what happens. Because see, when I pick against them, they win. So now I'm going to pick them, and I'm going to see if they can continue that. Next, we got the Broncos, and we got the Texans. The Broncos is riding high. I believe they are currently on a 5-game winning streak. They're playing very good. Russell Wilson is doing his thing. Sean Payton is doing his thing as the head coach. That defense is looking good. Now they're going up against this young and emerging Houston team. We was just talking about Houston could possibly still win the division in the AFC South. I think with that loss to the Jaguars, we could pump the brakes on that just a tad bit. But hey, if they can get a win this game, that conversation could still be had. It still could be had.
I am going to go I'm gonna go with the Broncos. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of them. I'm only going off of what I've been seeing recently. They've been riding high, so you know, hopefully they can keep that going. Next, we got the Lions and the Saints. See, the Saints, they have been a disappointment for me, man. There have been games where I've picked them, and they've let me down. This will not be one of those games. I'm not picking them. I'm picking the Lions. I believe the Lions go to New Orleans, and I think that they beat the Saints in the Superdome. Next, we got the Falcons, and we got the Jets. I'm going with the Falcons. Aaron Rodgers has been seen running drills. Nothing crazy, but, you know, very active and throwing the football. He's really trying to eye making that return before the season is over. Listen, the Jets are 4-7. They're not making the playoffs. I don't believe a team in the AFC is making the playoffs with 7 losses. I just don't see it happening. I just don't. A lot of teams will have to start losing in order for them to make the playoffs. Now, we already know Zach Wilson is not the quarterback. We already know that. I'm going with the Falcons. Next, we got the Dolphins and the Commanders. I'm going with the Dolphins, the Dolphins, the Dolphins. We got the Panthers and the Buccaneers. I'm going with the Bucks. This is the good one. This is the goodie, right? Everybody and their mother going to be watching this game because this game has the potential to be a rematch of the NFC Championship game from last year. We got the Niners and we got the Eagles in Philly once again. Now, we all remember last year, I think 3 quarterbacks got hurt in that NFC Championship game to the point where Christian McCaffrey had to be under center because they didn't have no quarterbacks. The Niners won't have that problem this weekend because Brock Purdy will be there. Now, we all know the Eagles had a nail biter against Buffalo last week. Buffalo had the ultimate chance to win that game, but Josh Allen overthrew Davis in the end zone. Jake Elliott of the Eagles hit that amazing 50-something yard field goal to take the game into overtime. Jalen Hurts said, you know what? It's overtime. I'm going to take over this game. I'm going to show why I'm in the MVP conversation. And he rushed it for a touchdown to end the game. Now, for some people, they've said that the Eagles have been lucky these last 4 games. They were trailing at half, and then they came back and they won at the end. That's what halftime adjustments are made of. That's why it's called halftime adjustments. They made the adjustments that they were supposed to make. They screwed off of people's mistakes, and they came back and they won these games. I don't think they can have that against this team. I honestly don't think that they can have that situation against the Niners. So with that being said, I say the Niners go to Philly and beat the Eagles. I say the Niners. I'm not even going to say upset because both of these teams are at the top of the totem pole for the NFC. So it's not like you're going up against a team that's 10-1 and then you're going up against a team with a losing record. I'm not even going to say it's an upset if the Niners beat the Eagles, because the Niners have the absolute potential to go up there and win. So I'm going with the Niners to get the win over the Eagles. Next, we got the Rams and the Browns. I'm going with the Rams. Next, we got the Chiefs and the Packers on Sunday Night Football. I'm going with the Chiefs. I just hope that these receivers can catch the motherfucking ball for Patrick Mahomes. His numbers will look so much better on my fantasy team if these motherfuckers would just catch the goddamn ball. Monday Night Football. We got the Jags and we got the Bengals. I'm going with the Jags. Joe Burrow is done for the season. That's all that needs to be said. If it wasn't for that, I might have picked the Jags. If it wasn't for Joe Burrow being hurt, I might have just picked the Bengals. I might have. There you have it. Those are my picks. Those are my picks. I got the Cowboys. I got the Chargers. I got the Steelers. I got the Colts, Broncos, Lions, Falcons, Dolphins, Bucks, Niners, Rams, Chiefs, and Jags. Those are my picks for week number 13. Now, before I go, Got to give my shout out. The shout out will be to none other than my mother, Mama Daphne. Shouting out my mother. Her birthday is December 2nd, which is tomorrow. So this shout out will go to my mother. Wish you many more. Love you to death. Enjoy your little mini getaway in Texas with Uncle Victor and the rest of the family. So there you have it. There's the shout out. It's a wrap for this episode. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Y'all can find me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Amazon Music, Podbean. I think I said Spotify. If not Spotify, but yeah, those are the platforms you can find me on. You can find me on Facebook, Dre Day. You can find me on X, Dre Day 1985. You can find me on Instagram, Dre Day 1985, or Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. The links are in the bio. So once again, thank y'all for y'all support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Episode 314 is over. Oh, 314. That's the area code for St. Louis. So with that being said, I'll give another shout out. Shout out to my girls from St. Louis, from What Do Women Know About Sports Podcast, Brianna Nicole and Vicky D. Go check them out. I had to shout them out being that their area code is 314. And 314 is this number for this episode. So shout them out. Peace out. Catch y'all on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy's out of here. Peace. What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com. Or call him at 443-810-0384.